Today on The Journey.
Fire contained in a fireplace. It is warm and it is pleasurable. But when that fire escapes, it can do some serious damage. So can the burning passion of sex.
We teach our children not to play with fire. We must be just as diligent to teach the dangers of sex. While it's a needed and useful gift, fire can wound their bodies. But playing with the gift of sex can burn their hearts and souls. With that in mind, today Ron Moore offers the wisdom of Solomon to make your child's sexual training effective. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written, and this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Living Purely, on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs as we continue our study through this book. Today, we want to see what Solomon has to say about the subject of sexuality, and we're going to find he has to say a lot. Now, as we've studied through the Proverbs, we've seen that sometimes you go through a chapter and there are several different subjects back to back in that chapter. But when Solomon wants to talk about sex, he says, I'm going to gather it all together. And with the exception of a few passages in Proverbs, Solomon's sex talk is in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. That's where we'll spend most of our time, so if you'll turn to those chapters. Solomon hits this subject head on, and so we want to do the same thing. The first observation we see in Solomon's sex talk is this. Parents, you are teachers of the subject to your children. And Solomon says that one of the things we as parents have to teach our children is this area of sex and sexuality. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. My son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she doesn't know it. And now, sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. He's talking to kids. Parents, teach your kids about sex. And just in case you missed it, look over at chapter 6, verse 20, when he begins another section. My son, keep your father's command and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart. Always tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. And parents, just in case we missed it, look at chapter 7. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your finger. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Look at chapter 7. Verse 24, and now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to go her ways. Do not stray into her paths. And just in case we missed it, look over at chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways, for a prostitute is a deep pit, an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind. Solomon says, parents, tag, you are it. It's not the public school's responsibility to teach your children about sex. It's on you. You have to do it. You're the parent. Do the work of the parent. Prayerfully, intentionally, develop a plan. Not just one sex talk, but an ongoing, age-appropriate dialogue. You know your children. You know their situations. You know their maturity. Do the work of a parent. Now, of course, if you're going to teach about this area, this has been the argument of Proverbs, you got to be doing some things right, because our kids not only hear us, but they see. And so the second observation in the book of Proverbs is this: sex outside of the God-given gracious boundaries is tempting. We need to face that. We will never address issues in our life if we pretend they don't exist. We are sexual beings. God has created us that way. And sex, even for married couples, outside of the boundaries, is tempting. There's a guy who went to the Bible chapel here years ago. He's passed away now. When he was 90 years old, he used to take me out to eat. I remember saying, "Man, when do these temptations stop?" He said, "I don't know, sometime after 90. I'm not sure." Yeah. You see, Solomon's writing to his son, and he's saying that women are what is going to tempt you. So we'll see that mostly in Proverbs. If he had been writing to his daughter, he would have said, men are going to be ones that tempt you. So all of these instruction applies to both men and women. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. In ancient Israel, there was nothing sweeter than honey. It's tempting, it's sweet. There was nothing smoother than olive oil. Tempting, it's smooth. Chapter 6, verse 24, Solomon says the tempter has a smooth tongue, always has the right words. In chapter 7, verse 21, with much seductive speech, she persuades him with her smooth talk. She compels him. And here's the deal. When a person is in that mode, they lack a conscience. Proverbs 30, 20, this is the way of the adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and then says, "I've done nothing wrong." Another thing Solomon says here for sure: if you want to go down the road of adultery, promiscuous sex, it is always available. Chapter 7, verse 6. Solomon says he's looking out his window one night, and he tells us what he sees. For at the window of my house, I have looked through my lattice and have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youth, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. He thinks no one else is watching, but Solomon's viewing it, and God sees it all. And behold, the woman meets him. She's not a prostitute, but she's dressed as a prostitute, wildly of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, at every corner she lies in wait. She's available. He's available. She seizes him and kisses him with bold face. She says to him, "I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vow. So now I've come out to meet you and seek you eagerly. I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning, because see, my husband's gone. Let us delight ourselves in love. My husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, so he's going to be gone for a while." If you want to go down this road, it is always available. So I want to tell this to you very directly, to you who are thinking about, heading toward, or in an affair. So you're going to come to me, and you're going to say, "Ronnie, you don't understand, man. I've never known such intimacy. God put her in my life." And you're going to say, "Ron, you don't understand. God put him there. He talks with me. He cares so much about me. Let me tell you what Scripture says. Don't consider yourself special. You just happen to be the cheapest and most available piece of meat in a butcher shop. The butcher shop called lust. You are 7:22, like an ox going to slaughter. So don't consider yourself special. And don't dare tell me God put that person in your life. Third observation. Characteristics that cause sexual failure. Solomon says a lack of discipline is one. Look at chapter 5. Verse 12, and it's going to be too late, but you're going to say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. 5:23, he dies for lack of discipline. And because of his great folly, he is led astray. Discipline is being in God's word every day. When you go down this path, I'll bet you you're not. Discipline is being connected with another believer who will speak into your life. You go down this route, I bet you you're not, or you're lying to a lot of people. Lacking spiritual discipline. That's one characteristic that caused us to fall. Here's the other one, lack of sense. Look at chapter 6, verse 32. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. And when you give in to sexual temptation, you can bet God is not happy about it. Proverbs 22:14, the mouth of a forbidden woman is a deep pit. Study that phrase, deep pit, in Scripture. It's never a positive place to be. He with whom the Lord is angry will fall into it. That does not mean God's angry with someone, so they're going to go fall in a pit. It means when you're heading down that path, God's not happy with you. That's not what he created you to be. He gave you a great gift. You're either going to wait on that great gift or you're going to be satisfied with that great gift in marriage. That's not the place for you to be. And there are consequences to it. And he hates to see these homes burn down. Number four, sex outside of God's gracious boundaries never ends well. Chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood. So honey's the sweetest, olive oil's the smoothest. In the ancient world, wormwood is the most bitter. Sharp as a double-edged sword, her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she doesn't even know it. Look at verse 8. Keep your way far from her. Don't go near her door or house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to those who are merciless. Think about that. Lest you give your years to others. You give away your strength. You give away your reputation. You give away your respect. You give away your money. Now you got to take care of two households. You give away years of being the dad or the mom that God has called you to be, but many recognize it too late. Chapter 6, verse 25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Now, there are a couple ways to interpret that last line, but here's what I think it is. Prostitution is terrible, it's wrong, it's sin, but it's cheap. But an affair with a married woman, married man, it costs you your life. It costs you, again, your reputation, your family, kids, your marriage. The commitment, when you said, I'm going to be with you for better or worse, rich or poor, sickness and health, till death do us part, it is broken. Sex outside of married boundaries doesn't end well. And Solomon, the writer of this material, was a case in point. Solomon is a reminder to us all, particularly those who are teachers and pastors. You can preach this, and you can write it, and you can talk about it, and you can memorize it, and not do it. When he was old, 1 Kings 11, now King Solomon loved many foreign women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. By the way, that's why we read in 1 Corinthians, you don't marry a non-believer. They will turn your hearts away from God. Case in point, Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princes and 300 concubines. And you got to think, what was he thinking about that? But a whole other issue. And look at the next line. And his wives turned away his heart. But I'm doing evangelism dating. I'm going to bring that person to Christ. Oh, man, come on. You're going to disobey God to obey God? It doesn't work like that. Solomon didn't work for him. And again, he had 1,000, but still, his wives turned his heart to other gods, and his heart was not totally, wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now, David wasn't perfect by any stretch. He had his issues. But there was always repentance. There was a tenderness there. When Solomon was king, the nations of the world came to check out Israel. And people would have an audience with Solomon for his wisdom. And he blew it. After he died, Rehoboam, Jeroboam have a fight, and there's a civil war. And the nation of Israel, this beautiful nation, splits in two. In the north, you have Israel. In the south, you have Judah. And they're killing each other. Jeremiah was there when all that happened. And not only does he write the book of Jeremiah, but he also writes Lamentations, has 5 poems of grief. And here's how the book of Lamentation begins. How lonely sits the city that was once full of people. How lonely sits a person who once had laughter in a full home. How lonely sets a home where a man or woman have lacked discipline and sense. All right, so how do we guard ourselves? Let's look at 3 things. First, I'm going to ask you to memorize Proverbs 5:21. Here's what it says. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He, God, ponders all his paths. God sees us. He examines us. He knows our motives. He evaluates our motives. And just think about that. God is always watching. So memorize that verse. God's word speaks clearly to us. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he also reaps. Second observation, for those who are married, nurture your relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, if you're married, husband and wife, don't deprive yourself sexually, lest Satan come and tempt you. Now, I want to say this very clearly. There is never, 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 never an excuse for an affair. Never. And when you are not satisfying your spouse sexually, while there's never an excuse, the natural temptation just gets cranked way up. So God says, don't do that. Get counseling. But you need to be satisfying each other. Marshall Shelley is a former editor of Leadership Magazine. And he wrote about a pastor friend of his who moved into a new town and went to the local ministerium, that place where all the pastors get together. And because he was the new guy on the block, they asked him to do the invocation. And so he did the invocation and got to the end. And he meant to say, and God, give us continued good success. But he got his words mixed up a little bit. And in his best pastoral voice, ending his prayer, he said, "And Lord, give us continued good sex." He said the room froze. He froze. And then finally, someone from the back of the room yelled out, "Amen." He said, "They asked me to pray quite often after that." Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern. Flowing water from your own well. You know what Solomon's talking about here, don't you? Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight and be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Why would you want to do that? And then we get back to that verse. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders his path. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline because of his great folly. He's led astray. Nurture your relationship. One more. Avoid areas of sexual temptation for you. We all have them, let's admit it. So put up the safeguards. Avoid the areas of sexual temptation. Chapter 5, verse 7. And now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. You just don't go there. You know that's going to be tempting. You avoid that situation. Avoid areas of sexual temptation. Look at chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? No, you can't do those things. So, is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife, none who touches her will go unpunished. Man, there are consequences for sin. Verse to memorize, nurture your marriage relationship, and then be smart enough to know this is a vulnerable area. Can't go there. Stay away from the door of our house. If you play with fire, what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. If you play with sex outside of God's gracious, God-ordained boundaries, you're going to get burned. Don't play with the fire of lust.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Anger. As ugly as it is on the outside, man, we all know how ugly it is on the inside, don't we? The boiling in our heart when anger gets the best of us.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.